Praise the Lord. It feels like only yesterday I was here. I think it's a month. Month now. Thank you for your prayers and remembering me in my preparation. I feel like when I'm preparing for either the Friday night or a message, That particular week is a hard week, and it is pretty difficult to focus on what you're thinking and what you're gonna speak, because usually I like to think of a topic that I wanna speak on, and then just think about it, and then kind of build. Like, it's not like you're working on it every minute, but you're like actually thinking about what you're gonna speak, what does the Lord put in your heart. And but there is actually a lot of things that come in your way of that continuous thought. And you know, the prayers are, I think, the most important tool that we have. I think we need to pray for our speakers and our preachers more. And again, if you're praying for me, I would like you to pray especially that God gives me a title or the topic soon and then later, because I feel like that's my biggest challenge, like trying to figure out what I want to speak on. I started thinking about this one particular thought, like intellectual pursuit of the word rather than truly, you know, internalizing the word in your heart. That's what I started with. And then I just stuck with heart. That's what I wanted to talk about today, our heart and the Lord's heart. And just, I know we might have, I'm pretty sure everybody here might have heard at least one or two messages on the heart. I think this is just a reminder, or a reminder for myself, more importantly than anybody else, I think. I think Carla once told me, the person who gets most out of it is the preacher. I was like, that's true. I get the most out of this message, but I wanted to talk about the heart. Heart to heart, about the heart. Let me pray quickly and then we'll go on. Father, thank you for this wonderful time that you've given us to just remember your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to spend some time in your word. Bless this time, and may this time be a time of fruitful and thoughtful thinking, and time that is guided by your Spirit for your glory and for your glory alone. In your precious name we pray, amen. It's an interesting thing to study, the heart. When the scripture is talking about, in Hebrew, heart, the word heart is lev. It is not just about emotions. It signifies the inner seat of our will, intellect, and desire. There is something that I learned recently that kind of blew my mind. When the Israelites, or the people of the Old Testament and of the New Testament, when they are talking about the heart, they are not just thinking about the heart, like emotions. Fun fact, they did not have an understanding of the brain. They did not know brain was something that was in control of your thoughts and understanding and knowledge. The brain stored your information. They had no concept of the brain. And they only thought that the heart was where you understood things, where you thought, and your seat of your emotions was your heart. Also, the seat of your knowledge and intellect and desire. So everything comes from the heart. And with that understanding, if you look at the word heart, it makes a world of difference, right? One of the challenges in reading the scripture is the distance between the U.S. Where we are to the place where it actually took place, and also the time. You know, we are 8,000 miles apart almost, and almost a couple of thousand years in different. So understanding the words requires a little bit of context and a little bit of understanding of the time. And it's very interesting to know, think that they thought of this organ as the center of human experience. They did not think brain exists. I thought it was very interesting. Heart. So the Bible records. A couple of things that you experience in your heart, right? I have a couple of verses here just to show what did the scripture say about our heart. What do we feel in our heart? With their hearts, we're merry. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word to me, the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So they felt joy in their heart. They rejoiced in their heart, right? And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord." So the heart was where they felt joy, right? And they felt happiness. At the same time, it's funny, there is a record of a heart attack in the Bible. I don't want to go too deep, but his heart failed him and he became like stone. The heart, Nathaniel said to the king, "Go and do that is in your heart. The Lord is with you." So the heart was where physical activities originated, right? Thoughts were believed to have come from your heart. And most importantly, you also felt, broken heart comes from the scripture. I was trying to find the words, I couldn't. Hannah was broken in heart, that she couldn't have children. A broken heart is a concept that comes from the scripture. So you feel happiness, joy, merriment in your heart. You do things from your heart, and you're sad in your heart. You know, scripture highly encompasses that. The heart is the seat of where everything flows from, right? Out of your heart controls your thoughts, emotion, physical activities, choices, right? Everything comes from your heart. It's kind of neat and interesting, isn't it? The point of origin of everything is in our heart. Heart and mind and soul is all encompassed in His one word. Right? That is what the Bible means when it says heart. With that understanding, I want to ask three questions today, right? First question is, where is your heart at? Where is your heart at? What does the Bible says where your heart is? In Jeremiah 16:12, we read, "And you have done worse than your fathers, for behold, each one follows the dictates of his own evil heart, so that no one listens to me." Right. Scripture is kind of blatant and bleak in this regard. It says our hearts are evil. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. Our heart is wicked and it is deceitful above all things. We like to always think of us as good people, right? But the Bible says we are not. I miss Chuck. Chuck once, we were talking about on a Friday night, he was talking about how the AA, the 12-step program is from the Bible, and almost all of them are biblically inspired. And the first step is to accept that you are an addict. Or the first step is to accept the problem. And the Bible says that we are evil. Our heart is deceitful above all things. And as an engineer, there's a lot of assumptions that take place that you do to kind of like start a process. You don't know all information, but you'd assume, let's say X, Y equals Z, but you have to assume certain things. But and under the assumption, you start the process, but you don't finish it. When we start thinking about ourselves, what do we think? Do we think our heart is good or evil? From my personal experience, for the longest time, I thought I was good, right? But the scripture says the opposite. We are not good, we are evil. And we've worsened as time progressed, and we've become wicked. The third verse, I was debating whether I should put it there, but I put it there. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he was grieving in his heart. It's not where is our heart is. The Lord's heart was grieving, looking at the sin that was on the face of the earth. Right? It's not a personal message, but it's just what the scripture says about our condition. It is much worse than what we think it is. Once someone was sharing an analogy, and he was saying that, you know, you got to think about it like a seed. Right? Can a seed break a big rock? Right? No. But there was this one interesting place when the preacher went to, and there was this huge tree that grew out of a rock, breaking this big boulder into two, right? And he compared it to the potential that is in the seed, right? Let's say a walnut tree. Every walnut tree has the potential to grow big as it can and yield as many walnuts as possible. Only difference is the conditions that it grows in, right? Would you all agree? Every walnut tree has potential, right? And then he compared it to every one of us has the potential to be truly evil. Right? And we've seen it again and again in history that true evil, like the history is a cycle, and we have seen true evil perpetuated by human beings. And every one of us in this room is capable of doing the same thing. That is the reality of the seed that's in our heart. It is ultimately wicked. That is the realistic understanding, what the Bible teaches us about our heart. That is, it is evil and wicked, and above all, it's deceitful. Right? It might be a hard thing to, it is a hard thing to say, and also it's a hard thing to hear, but this is where the Bible says where our heart is. For where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Matthew 6:21. So another word that is telling us, our heart's nature is evil and deceitful. But where we place our heart is where our treasure is. Right? This is a verse that we've all studied before too, and I cannot answer this question except for myself. Right? And I think in my last message, I think I was talking about something similar, like, you know, where my heart was at different stages of my life, and it could have been financial security or intellectual pursuit or whatever it is. My heart was not for Christ or with Christ. 100%, or even though I wouldn't say 100%, but it's just like the world was bigger and better than the Lord for the longest time of my life. But where is your treasure? What do you treasure most? Right. It's just, where do you draw your meaning of life from? There is your heart. Someone, there's a question people ask, like, your house is on fire, what do you save? Right? What are you gonna run back to save? There's your heart, there's your treasure, i.e. there's your heart. If your house is burning down, what are you gonna save? Right? It's something that each and every one of us can ask and answer ourselves. Where is your treasure? You know? And we all know where our treasure should be. Our treasure should be in heaven, because there nobody can touch it, nobody can steal it, nobody can nothing can eat it. You know, the safest place possible. Right? So what does the Bible say where our heart is? Our heart's nature is evil, deceitful, and wicked. But where is our heart? Our heart is in our treasure. And where is our treasure? Yeah, that is something that we individually has to answer ourselves. Right? Second question is, where should your heart be? Right? Where should your heart be? What does the Bible say? Here is where your heart should be. You shall love your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your strength. Deuteronomy 6:5. Your heart should be loving the Lord. That's where your heart should be. Heart should be loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, and strength. Right? That's where your heart should be. Augustinian exposition. He talks about misaligned love. Right. He says, if you were to prioritize the amount of love that you should have for certain things, and you put them in an order, 1, 2, 3, if you put the Lord as one, everything else will fall in place. Right? Everything else will fall in place. But if you do not, if you put anything in that first place, nothing will work out. This is like he called it misaligned love or misplaced love. The order needs to be right for everything to work out right. If you love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, everything else will fall in place perfectly. But if you don't, it won't. That doesn't mean you love bad things, right? A job is a good thing, it provides for your family. But if you put your job before the Lord, it's not gonna work out. A family is a good thing. Helps you and it gives you purpose, meaning, everything. But if you put your family before the Lord, it's not gonna work out. Spouse, children, money, you take anything that heart usually treasures in this world, intellectual pursuit, artistic pursuit. If you put anything before the Lord, it's not gonna work out. But if you put the Lord first, he's gonna make sure that it is gonna work out. It will work out. That's what we see time and time again in the scripture, that if you put the Lord first, it always works out. If you don't, it doesn't work out. Where is your heart should be? It should be delighting in the Lord. And then he will give you the desire of your heart. Right? First thing is you shall love the Lord. Second thing is you shall delight in the Lord. Right? This is something that only you have to experience. I don't think I can communicate or help people understand the delightment in the Lord. No matter what, I mean, the closest thing I can say is, no matter what happens in my life, I know that my future is secure, right? I know that my Lord is alive. I know that my Lord is here with me, walking with me. That is something that is just, I cannot explain. I cannot convey or convince, or I cannot say what that feeling is. It is just that you have to personally walk with him to understand what that means. Sweeter than honey, better than the world. You know, I chose Fanny's songs because, you know, take the world, give me Jesus. You know, Jesus is better than anything else. And delighting in him means just cherishing him more than anything else. I think like getting married helped me understand that a little better, and delighting in something is just having the Lord, and the Lord being your pleasure. Like this morning I was thinking of all the things that were shared, and how we are here in front of the Lord, and just having the Lord gives you all the joy and happiness and everything possible. Your heart should be loving the Lord. More than that, your heart should be delighting in the Lord. Nothing else comes close to delighting in the Lord, because it makes perfect sense and just perfectly answers all questions and meets all needs and meets all expectations.
Right.
Nothing in the world can do that. Answer all questions, meet all need, and meet all expectations. So your heart should be delighting in the Lord. Where your heart should be? Your heart should be protected. Right? Your heart should be protected. The world is always sinful. This is deceiving. It can offer all alluring things, but they're gonna end in tragedy. We saw two messages about what the broad way looks like. And the broad way is deceitful, evil, and it's gonna lead you away from the Lord.
Right.
But so your heart should be protected. Yeah. And I don't wanna go into the question of whether you can lose your salvation or not. It's not, but you need to hold on to your Lord with dear life, because he's extended his arm, and your heart needs to be for the Lord, with the Lord. And hopefully when you go to heaven, he doesn't say, I never knew you. He says, welcome and come on, my faithful and wonderful servant. You know? So we need to live a life that is protecting our heart with all due diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it springs the issues of life. You know, our heart needs to be protected. And the Lord does all the heavy lifting, I believe, even here. You know, all the glory and all the glory and the credits of us being here at this very moment goes to the Lord. I honestly believe the reason why we are all here is because the Lord has protected us and kept us and brought us here. Right? That brings me to my next question. Right? Loving the Lord, just to consolidate, loving the Lord with all your heart implies constant allegiance of your entire inner life. Your thoughts, emotions, intentions, and commitment, everything. Right? Everything should be oriented to the Lord. You should delight in the Lord, and you should your heart should be protected. It is a commandment that is given unto us, right? So I've asked and answered three questions. Where is your heart according to the scripture? Where should be your heart according to the scripture? And the third question is, this is the beauty of our Lord, the beauty of the scripture is, you know, how can you get there? Lord and the scripture answers those questions, right? The first thing is the Lord, Deuteronomy 36, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your heart with all your heart, all your soul, that you may live. The Lord will circumcise your heart. He's done that in my life, and I've seen Lord work through my surroundings, my circumstances, and my community, that he has taught me so many things. He just circumcised my heart. You know, it's a very kind of a drastic analogy, but I have seen that happen. I can tell from personal experience through what the Lord has taken me through. He has taught me how to be more humble, be more contrite, be more understanding of the Lord. It's hard. It's just The Lord does that. Amen. How do we get there? The Lord does it. Second verse is Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Create is ex nihilo, create out of nothing. Right? He creates out of nothing a new heart. This morning we touched on this. You know, David was sorrowful and he was like, sinned against you, create in me a new heart. God creates a new heart. When we go to him and confess our sins and accept the salvation that he is offering to us, he starts and he finishes this wonderful work. Right? He does that. He circumcises, he creates. Next one is Jeremiah 31:31. I'll just read that. For I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. How does he change? How does he keep our hearts? He keeps our hearts by writing the law in our heart. I will be their God. They shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember you. The new covenant.
Right.
He will write the law in our heart. So how do you get there? How do you get to where the scripture says your heart should be? He's going to do it. Right? He is going to do it. The most interesting thing is, he's already done it. Right? Another way you can get there is understanding the heart of Christ. I think I should have flipped them out. I should have put this first and then put this second. But to another way that you get there, you understand the heart of Christ. Heart of Christ is this. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Right. Personally, for me, when I say I am a believer and I believe in Jesus Christ for this reason, and this reason alone is one of the reasons is the person and the character of Christ. It is unimaginable and it's fully cannot comprehend the whole thing. We know, we hear. But we don't truly understand. I don't think we will understand until we all go to heaven and see Christ in person and the glory. In his glory, we might be able to put two and two together. Imagine God of creation. We walk out there and we see this beautiful creation. Even just the creation is majestic. You know, the mountains and the valleys and the forest and the we haven't scratched the surface of his creation. So imagine the creator, right? He is much, much, much bigger, much, much more complex, much, much more holy, greater, righteous. But he took the creation's place as creation, came down, lived a life of utter poverty, and he came down as a child to these two teenagers who had nothing and made an impact on this world, which is nobody comes close. Right? You step out, you see his effect on this world. Right? You see a hospital named St. Luke because of him. You see a church every street because of him. You have forgiveness, concept of forgiveness, love, and redemption. It is because of the cross. It did not exist as we know it before him. And he had this gentle and lowly heart. He wept for his friend. You know, he wept for the lost. He had a burden on the heart, in his heart, for the lost. And he was truly humble and meek. When we truly understand his heart. And when we walk with him, that is one of the ways we get there. Right? Understanding and accepting the Lord. I'd like to conclude with these two more slides. The heart is the core of who we are, shaping our thoughts, our choices, and our walk with God. Scripture shows that the heart can be deceptive and weak, but also the place where God works transformation. You know, he changes our heart, changes our mind, or changes our soul. A renewed heart is fully devoted to loving God with all our being. I started preparing this message. The first topic I had was whether you're intellectually pursuing the scripture or you're internalizing the scripture. And then I was focusing on the heart. And then I was like, you know, I really wanted to talk about the heart. You know, in all honesty, in our churches or in the Christian community, the one thing that is truly lacking is when we look at the hearts of the people, it is not as close to God as it should be. Right? Let me put it that way. It's not as close to God as it should be, or not as zealous for God as it should be. The zealous nature of our heart that should be zealous for our Lord is not there. I think that is what I wanted to talk about this evening. You know, what does the scripture say our heart is? We need to accept that and understand that. You know, examine. Ask honestly, where is my heart right now? Right? Where is our heart? Is it zealous for the Lord? Is it like the Lord? Or is it truly focused on the mission that the Lord has given us? Mission of both external, both of defensive nature and offensive nature. We need to be going out in the world, preaching the world, adding more people to our chapel. At the same time, we need to be ministering to the brothers and sisters. You know, if you do not love the brother you see, how can you love the Lord that you do not see? Right? Our mission is both outwardly focused and also inwardly focused. And is your heart set on that mission like the Lord's heart was set on his mission? You know, I know it is a tall order to be like the Lord, but are we striving to be like the Lord? Ask yourself the question, examine your heart, where is it? Where does my focus lie? You know, are we actively planning for furtherance of the mission? Right? Through some way, some form, it could be small as giving to a ministry consistently, or it could be big as committing your life to a ministry, actively working to a ministry, whatever the Lord is calling you to, right? Plan and commit. What are we planning for? Where is your heart at? Second thing is guard your heart, you know, out of which flows life. You know, protect your heart from pride, jealousy, evil lust and sin, most importantly sin. Protect your heart from sin. There is a fundamental difference between living a life of sin and having sin in your life. And protect at all costs from sin. Commit, love God with your whole heart, thoughts, minds, and action. Commit to the Lord and depend, you know, trust God to transform your heart daily through His Spirit and His Word. Because he has started a good work, which he is going to finish. Right? Your heart is changed by the Lord, through the Lord, and in the Lord. Right? He is working a thing in your heart. You know, our role is to understand who we really are and walk with him so he is able to finish his work. Let us pray and finish. Oh, Father, we thank you for this wonderful time that you've given us to come in your presence and just remind ourselves of our heart. What our nature is, what our predisposition is. A heart is above all deceitful and evil. Father, but we have you to guide our heart now. We have your Son and our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who has paid the price to redeem us. We shall not be living in sin no more, but we shall live a life of forgiveness and joy and comfort. Father, we just commit each and one of us in this room to you. We commit our life. Let our life be fruitful. So when we get to heaven, when we reach the pearly gate, you may welcome us as faithful and humble servants who have toiled and worked for the furtherance of your kingdom. Because at the end of the day, it's the only thing that actually makes a difference, has meaning, and has eternal impact. Let us focus on what can be eternally safe rather than the desires of our own heart. Father, give us the desires for your work and your mission, and guard and protect our hearts. Yeah, all glory and honor to him alone. In his holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand as we sing. Okay, this is I listened to this because I wasn't sure if I knew it. And I listened to the Gaither, like the whole, you know, they have those family reunion things or whatever they're called. Oh my goodness, so good.
So
we shall try our best to sing this, because I don't know if I ever heard this song before I watched it.
It's an easy one.
I shall go, I redeemer, and I Have a great weekend.
Just one announcement, the elder.